Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour call hosted by Hector Kidd. My name's Elaine and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key *0 on your telephone and a coordinator would be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. And now I'd like to hand over to Hector. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Wessex. If you're a regular on this, then you'll have heard me before. But as by way of an introduction, my name is Hector Kidd, so I'm senior engineer on the route with responsibility for earthworks and for drainage. And I just let you know that because if you have any concerns about any drainage issues on your patch or any earthwork issues, then you've now got my name and you can find me easily enough. I'm the only Hector Kidd in the business. Or if you speak to your local TME or ATME, they all know me and they'll be happy to pass on problems with those assets. There's a few things that I thought I'd go through on the Safety Hour today. A few things from my personal experience, which I thought it might be worth talking about. And the first two things, I've caught up with a couple of old friends of late. And we talk a lot about safety in this job, but we very seldom talk about health. So I thought I'd bring up a couple of things. First one is sort of relevant for the time of year. It's started to get longer days, although it hasn't seemed to have started to get warm yet, which is a shame. But caught up with a friend I worked with many years ago over the weekend who, a fair-skinned chap, has worked outdoors most of his life, and probably about 10 years ago now he was first diagnosed with skin cancer. Benign, not particularly concerning, but he had some treatment at the time and sort of was given the clean bill of health, but catch up with him over the weekend. He has had an extension of that, you know, he's had a return to that condition, so I guess that's just driven home to me a little bit that if you work outside and you're exposed to skin sun regularly, then skin cancer is a genuine risk. And I know we get a lot of stuff sort of circulated around the business, but we don't perhaps pay as much attention to it as we should. I think Tim's going to be all right. He's not looking at anything particularly serious at the moment, but, you know, two occurrences within 10 years is not necessarily a good sign. And hopefully none of us have to go through that sort of process. Second one is sort of a similar. I've got a very old friend of mine who's a mechanical engineer machinist and has suffered with sort of mild dermatitis for a long while with cooling oil and that sort of things. And again, speaking to him the last couple of weeks, he's had a real flare-up of his condition and he's looking to change careers because he's really struggling to manage that in the work that he's doing. And by his own admission, he's not always been as good as you could have been, using barrier cream, using gloves, that sort of thing. It's very easy to skip those things and to get yourself grubby. And if you don't get on well with those oils and greases, then it can actually be quite an unpleasant thing to manage. So my old friend there looking for a change of career because he's not managed his health within the workplace particularly effectively, and it's becoming unpleasant for him to carry on in that line of work, so he's now looking for something different to do. So again, there are opportunities for us to look after ourselves and hopefully enjoy a long career doing what we enjoy doing. The next thing I thought I'd talk about is a little bit of a road safety slot, and the reason that I thought it would be worth bringing this to the call today is sort of three things happened to me this week. The first was I was returning from some time away from work on Tuesday night and I was overtaken by a Never Rail badge vehicle that was travelling well in excess of the speed limit. And the vehicle slowed right down for a prominent speed camera and then accelerated away again afterwards. And the other thing that's happened to me this week is that 2 days on the trot, my journey to work has been delayed due to congestion brought about by motorcyclists coming together with other vehicles on my sort of journey into work. So I am a cyclist and motorcyclist myself. I happened to be on my motorbike on Tuesday evening when this Network Rail vehicle passed me well in excess of the speed limit, and I just sort of thought that those three things sort of made me think a little bit about that first incident. If I'm entirely honest, I didn't pay that much attention to the Network Rail vehicle as it came past me on Tuesday evening. Because it was dark, relatively late at night, it was just a pair of headlights sort of coming down from behind in my mirrors. It wasn't in my lane, didn't particularly concern me. And it's not unusual for people to carry a bit of speed past the sign and then slow down for the speed camera. And so it didn't particularly upset me. But what did upset me was not only that the vehicle then accelerated away after the speed camera, it's that it moved around in the lane in a way that gave me a pretty strong indication that whoever was driving was doing something in addition to driving, either sort of patting about with mates, or perhaps using a mobile phone, or perhaps, I don't know, getting a drink out of a flask or whatever else they were doing. But I just thought, it hadn't really occurred to me since the incident, but it did occur to me that we are all extremely visible when we're in badged vehicles, and a little bit of mild speeding perhaps doesn't necessarily make you visible, but if you're driving like a prat, you really are. And as a motorcyclist and cyclist, I'm strongly of the belief that if you are driving, that demands 100% of your attention. Because if you hit me, I'm not going to come out of it well. And if you hit me, you're probably not going to come out of it well either, because that's going to lead to a whole load of difficult employment and legal process that you are much better avoiding. So I didn't close call the vehicle on Tuesday night because the particular location, you know, it's very difficult to, it would be incredibly difficult to identify who it was. Nobody's going to come forward, are they? It's a white van, badged in Network Rail. Wasn't paying that much attention to exactly what sort of van it was, and I certainly wasn't in a position to record any registration markings on that vehicle. And due to the location, it could well be a Wessex vehicle, or it could even be from a different route, because we do sort of, we do overlap. But, you know, I'd really sort of request, please, that anybody who is driving in work or out of work, but particularly if you're in a badged vehicle, do stick to speed limits. And more importantly, make sure when you are driving is what you were thinking about. And absolutely don't prat about, because it makes you really, it makes us as an organisation look silly, and it makes you as an individual look silly. And having seen two motorcyclists lying on the ground this week, it really made me think that I should have been more upset on Tuesday night when this vehicle came past me. But that got me thinking a little bit about some of my previous career. And before I worked for Network Rail, I worked for another organisation. I used to manage a group of a team of manual workers who undertook small and medium scale construction and maintenance. And road safety was always a big issue for that team, as it is for a lot of you out in the route. And there's two examples of things that have occurred to me. My team used to use a mix of transits, both twin wheel pickups and 3.5-ton panel vans, and we also had a fleet of Land Rovers. We also had some bigger vehicles as well, but they're sort of slightly managed differently. And a few things that that frequently cropped up. One, we did a lot of towing. We had a lot of equipment and materials to move around, so we had a lot of trailers. And I don't know if anybody's ever driven a long wheelbase Land Rover with 3.5-ton trailer, but you know, compared to a modern car, it's a bit of a beast. You know, it's not the sort of thing you can take through corners at any speed, and it's got pretty long braking distances. on an off-road tyres, you've not got very much grip on wet roads and all that sort of thing. And the vast majority of the time, not a problem because the team are pretty sensible and used to doing that sort of thing. Most of the people from the farming background, and they've been driving tractors and trailers and various other heavy vehicles for a long while. But that wasn't always the case, and we had some issues to do with younger members of the team who didn't have that sort of experience being a little bit enthusiastic. And what really drove this home to me was there was a couple of younger members of the team were moving a boat for another team. Now, it's a great big rig, you know, a single axle, sorry, a twin axle trailer, and this thing, I'd never towed it, but the talk around the office after the event was that this thing didn't do very well if you braked in a corner. This was working around Devon and Cornwall, and it was, you know, twisty roads up and down, and it was sometimes unnecessary to brake in corners. Nobody had ever reported that this this boat felt pretty unpleasant to tow behind a Land Rover. And of course, it had to be towed behind a Land Rover because it needed to be launched off beaches and that sort of thing. Two young lads in my team were set off to collect this boat from repair and bring it back to the depot, but they didn't return because they put the thing upside down and they went through a hedge. And my only sort of, my main take-home message, I think, from that was, if you have to drive with heavy and sort of asymmetric loads, and if you need to tow, then I would strongly recommend that if you have, you know, if you know that those vehicles don't behave very well, or if you think that they perform in an unsafe manner, please report them back to your line managers or back to Fleet Ops, because you know, the sort of the talk around the office after that incident was very much that, yeah, we always thought that was an accident waiting to happen, but everyone thought, oh yeah, it's all right, we'll just take it easy, it'll be all right. Of course, that message hadn't made it to these two young lads, who were probably a bit enthusiastic and tipped the thing over. Luckily, nobody was hurt. The other incident, which I remembered, was the fleet of rail transit pickups we had required some quite careful management if we were to keep within the rated axle loading for the front axles. So if as part of your work you are using, you know, particularly twin wheel transits, but any 3.5 ton van, it's really, really easy to go overloaded, particularly on a front axle because that's where the cab is, and if you've got 3, 4, or 5 blokes in the cab, that's a lot of weight up front, and the engine's up front, of course. And if you, you know, what I found with managing this issue in my team was pretty much it was okay if people were sensible. What tended to drive a problem was that if you had 4 big heavy blokes and all of the PPE that people had ever sort of accumulated just stacked up in the cab, and then lunch boxes from this week and lunch boxes from last week, and then the tools that you needed, and then the tools that you might need, and then the tools that were left over from the last job, it's very easy for the front of these vehicles to get really heavy and succeed the weight on the front axle. Having a heavy front axle is not necessarily the biggest problem in the world, but it is illegal, and it is the driver's responsibility to manage that. But we also had a blowout on a front tyre on one of our vehicles, and you know, it's probably not directly linked to the fact that that was regularly running with an overloaded front axle, but it did make me think at the time that that's something that needs some real attention. So I'd strongly, strongly advise anybody that's using sort of 3.5 ton vans, particularly twin wheel vans, particularly stuff where you've got a crew cab and you've got a lot of weight on front, think about where you're putting your load on those vehicles and try and stay legal. If you really have concerns about it, then have a word with Fleet Ops. It's very inexpensive to rent an axle weighing scale. It's just, you know, a couple of pads you put on the floor and run your vehicle over it and see whether or not your axle loads are acceptable. And similarly, if you're towing, it's quite easy to overload small trailers And it's very easy as well, like things like a transit panel van where you can tow, I believe, 2.2 tons from memory. If you've got a mini-digger on a trailer, as you often see little contractors doing, it's very unlikely that that's actually a legal combination. So if you're towing or if you're using smaller vans to move loads around, consider axle weights. The last thing I wanted to talk about a little bit, as the engineer on the route responsible for earthworks, it's been quite an exciting month. The Easter weekend was finished off with a landslide near Sherborne, and that landslide blocked the up line not far from Sherborne Station, and we had to sort of deploy resources and people at short notice to clear up the mess. And then we had sort of a week of midweek nights under the weekend to clear up the mess more so we could get the line speed off. And now we've got a broken earthwork that's going to be an expensive thing to fix. More recently, we've had another earthwork failure at Wrecklesham, and you cannot, at the moment, get a train to Alton. And why do I bring these up? It's not just to make myself look silly because we've failed to intervene on these two sites before they've fallen over. I'd sort of say there's a wider message for the business. And for me, that is, we're all working with limited budgets. We've all got backlog, be that maintenance or capex. And I just sort of urge everybody to make sure that if you are planning to do some work and you are not able to do that work, either because you haven't got the access you need or you haven't got the money you need, then it's still incumbent on all of us to work together as a team to manage the safety. So I and my team try and communicate with the TMEs regularly, so if we've got earthwork issues out there that we know about, then we work in sort of in partnership with TMEs to manage that risk, and we continually reprioritise our own work to try and make sure that we do the highest priority activities. But I think, you know, that's a thing that all of us need to do. It's very easy if you go out to do three things and you achieve two for the paperwork around the third thing, you know, to be put in a pile and to be dealt with later. But I'd sort of urge everybody to make sure that we all dot all the I's and cross all the T's and make sure that all of the work that we would like to do that we've not managed to do yet is properly risk assessed, so that when we're planning next week's work, we are doing the best safety management that we can. And that's sort of about it for me, really. So if anybody wants to ask me any questions about that, then ask Elaine and she can bring you in.
Thank you. So ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star 2. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. So just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, just key star then 1 on your telephone, record your name, press the hash key. Just a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key.
Well, it sounds like you've all had enough of me, so if there's no questions, we'll bring this call to a close. If anybody wants to speak to you about anything I've mentioned today outside of the meeting, then it's Hector Kids, and you can find me in the network rail systems, and feel free to give me a call direct. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hector. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your call for today. You may now disconnect. Thanks for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.